unless that tariff changes. But that's true across the country. That's not unique to the Liverpool Women's. It's a very, very important hospital. Liverpool people, and especially Liverpool women, have poor health outcomes. And we can't cut down their provision. You know, and I'm sorry, but you don't get the same atmosphere in the local hospitals that have got, you know, on the Wirral. I'm not slagging them off at all, but the atmosphere is not the same in the maternity units in the other hospital. But there is something special about the women's.
How important is it to have a city centre hospital and a women's hospital right in the city centre? Because these plans to relocate are a bit outside the centre and outside the city.
It's a beautiful site. What on earth? I mean, we live in the era of trying to protect the environment. Why would you demolish a beautiful hospital that is still having wings built onto it in good grounds that's easy to get to? Why would you do it? They're saying they'll go for a rebuild. I mean, it seems to be a ridiculous waste of money unless they've got some PFI contractor there saying that they want to make a load of money. I mean, the new Royal's being built on a PFI. The difference between the women's and what it replaced was like a jump from the 19th century to the 21st century. It was phenomenal in Liverpool, and we can't go back. We can't. No room in the current Royal at all.
And that's, as you were saying, are you disappointed and shocked by the plans to move and
yes,
surprised?
We are very surprised given what had been said at previous meetings. Very, very surprised given what had been said at previous meetings. And we don't accept the necessity or that it's a good use of money.
So do you almost think it's a bit of a cover-up that they're making excuses that there's no money for it?
I think they're going to try and get people to accept the closure and then pull away from a new build. But that's just me. I'm a cynical phone. I tried to think, why are they doing this? Why are they saying that? You know, the government saying we're all in such total poverty. You know, it's okay to have people dying on the street, sleeping in doorways in Liverpool because we haven't got the money. Hey, but it's okay to build a hospital, you don't need.
That was Mark Crosby speaking with the founder of Save Liverpool Women's Hospital Group, Felicity Dowling, about the hospital's planned move.
For more on all the latest news, sport, entertainment, views and reviews, follow us on Twitter at JMU Journalism and come back often.
Liverpool has been chosen as the recipient of the biggest investments into grassroots football after a £17 million deal has been agreed. The City Council will contribute £4.4 million, while £12.6 million will come from the FA, Premier League and Sport England. Four hubs will be formed on current pitches to reduce the reliance on council subsidies, an authority spokesman has said. The FA has said it will invest a record £260 million into grassroots football by 2019. The sites in the first phase of the programme include Geoffrey Humble Playing Field in Fazakerley, Heron Eccles Playing Field in Allerton, Jericho Lane Playing Field in Otterspool, and Simpson Road in Woolton. Kenny Saunders, founder of the Save Grassroots Football in Liverpool, told me it could very well be a step in the right direction.
Certainly if we can get more kids playing football, you know, instead of one night a week, two or three times a week, the chances then you're going to have more better players going into the academies. Most probably them, what you'd hopefully like to see is more homegrown players playing for our local teams and, you know, in general, more kids playing football, which will certainly benefit, you know, as I said before, our home teams and, you know, at the end of it, maybe our national teams. But, you know, whatever's happening in Liverpool, it's great for Liverpool. But, you know, there's many other towns and cities out there who are certainly struggling, certainly for facilities across the country. And until we invest more money into grassroots football as a nation, I don't think we'll ever win a World Cup.
Mr Saunders also thinks that Liverpool Football Club and Everton Football Club could be doing more to help.
A lot of the money, to tell the truth, is coming from the FA, Greg Dyke. It's coming from the Premier League. It's coming from Sports England. And from the council, I believe, they're putting £4.4 million towards it. But someone has told me that that £4.4 million is coming from a loan from the FA. We've got two of the biggest Premier League clubs in the city here, and I don't see them contributing any money to grassroots football. And I think with the new £8.2 billion TV deal, that Liverpool and Everton certainly can contribute some money towards this scheme, or, you know, to build a couple of AstroTurfs themselves across the city.
A City Council spokesman said discussions were being held with Merseyside Youth Association, who have run three of the sites for nearly 100 years, to reconstruct their leases. FA Chief Executive Martin Glenn said the FA aims to set up football hubs in 30 cities in the next 4 years to support its youth development. Knowsley Council has hit back at criticism from Ofsted, who blasted their standard of schooling. Northwest Ofsted Director Christopher Russell recently said that the education system in Knowsley has already failed a generation and is set to continue for another. Knowsley Councillor Andy Muirhead has responded to this in an open letter. Our reporter Kate Hewison can tell us more. So Kate, what did Councillor Muirhead have to say to these claims?
Well, despite the claims by Ofsted, the council are adamant that in fact education in Knowsley is getting better. Schools in the borough often get a hard time and have faced stinging criticism in recent months, even though more than 90% of Knowsley's primary schools are good or outstanding, according to Ofsted's inspection results. Councillor Andy Muirhead just wants this and other positives to be recognised.
What kind of positives?
Well, although Knowsley GCSE results have been some of the worst in the country, things are improving and the council believe this should be commended. The number of pupils in 2015 who got five good GCSEs, including English and maths, was up by nearly 4%, the biggest rate of improvement in the North West and the 18th biggest in the country. Councillor Muirhead said they aren't going to give up on children simply because they do not achieve five or more A star to C grades. There has also been a 19% increase in the number of pupils achieving 100% attendance, which is the equivalent to 1,200 children.
So that's what the schools and the pupils are doing, but what is the council doing?
Councillors are working with business leaders to establish a university technical college specialising in advanced manufacturing and engineering. On top of this, they are also investing £1 million into setting up an education commission in order to improve standards.
Thanks, Kate.
For more on all the latest news, sport, entertainment, views and reviews, bookmark jmu-journalism.org.uk.
MPs dealt a major blow to Prime Minister David Cameron and Chancellor George Osborne this week by defeating government proposals to relax rules surrounding Sunday trading hours in England and Wales. In a rare House of Commons defeat for Cameron, MPs voted 317 to 286 to reject the government's plans. At least 20 Conservative MPs are understood to have rebelled. Our reporter Alex Gorton has the latest.
The House of Commons have decided against plans to give local councils the power to change Sunday trading laws. The government had hoped to relax existing restrictions on Sunday trading, which limit large shops to opening for a maximum of 6 hours, by devolving responsibility to local councils. But their plans were opposed by an alliance of Labour, the SNP and Conservative backbenchers. In the biggest proposed shake-up for 20 years, ministers wanted to give 353 councils in England and 22 in Wales the freedom to determine opening hours for large shops in their area. During a three-hour debate, a series of Conservative MPs spoke out against the changes, first announced by George Osborne in last year's budget, who claimed the changes would see a boost to the economy. Before the debate, the Church of England also restated its opposition to any relaxation of the current law, saying it had seen no evidence that further liberalisation would bring tangible economic benefit. In a final attempt to prevent defeat, the government suggested the idea of giving powers to councils to authorise all-day trading on Sundays on a pilot basis. However, the compromise failed to win over opponents and the Commons opposed proposals by 317 votes to 286. We spoke to the people of Liverpool to find out their thoughts if Liverpool Council were to relax Sunday trading laws.